Let's begin. Who is Yisro? Why does he begin the Parsha? Why does he preface the whole story of Matan Torah? Why does he have that fame that his name becomes the Parsha that hosts Matan Torah? You can imagine this Parsha should be called Sinai, Torah, Horeb, Moshe. Yisro. Why is Yisro placed in this section? So part of it is because we need to see Moshe reunified with his family. We don't want bachelors on Har Sinai. We want married people. Torah doesn't celebrate celibacy. And we don't want to become monks and clergy. We want to, even rabbis get married, even Moshe Rabbeinu is married. But the whole tone of the parasha could have been different. It could have stressed that Moshe reunited with his family. Of course, people had to bring the family back. It probably was Yisro, but Yisro was the taxi driver. Parsha's Yisro. Yisro's not the taxi driver. He's playing a central, pivotal role. So you can appreciate Yisro's role and the nuances of that role by studying the associations which the Medrash draws. Sometimes associations help us better understand. So the Medrash, there are two sets of associations. One association between Yisro, Rachav, and Shiva, Malchus Shiva, and one association by way of contrast, which of course is a three-peat, it repeats itself three times, the contrast between Yisro and Amalek. So what is the association between Yisro, Rachav, and Shiva? So the Medrash, when it quotes this association, cites a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Pasuk in Yirmiyah talks about nations coming, me'afse aretz. Goyim yavo me'afse aretz. And the way the Medrash interprets this is that people will flock to the Jewish people from across the globe. They'll be drawn to the Dvar Hashem. And who are the three people who are drawn to the Dvar Hashem? At least in this Medrash, Rachav, Yisro, not necessarily in this order, Rachav, Yisro, and Malchus Shiva. The point is that Har Sinai has to be an international event. Even though the Torah is being given to Am Yisrael, the message of the Torah, the impact of the Torah, should affect the entire world, indirectly, like giving bracha to the world, but even six, seven mitzvahs, the Dvar Hashem, the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's absolutely crucial that there be some prototypical Gentile at Har Sinai. Yisro is a prototype. It's not just Yisro per se. Yisro is representing all the nations throughout history that in one way or another will be affected by Torah. Initially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to actually deliver Torah to all the nations, Chazal Darshan. That doesn't mean that he wouldn't have given it to us. It means that we'll be given the Torah, a different version of the Torah, directly to the nations, and of 613 mitzvahs, the Torah that we know to Am Yisrael. It's not as if it would have been displaced from our special role in history, but it would have been more of a direct universal delivery, because most of the nations refused. They were not yet mature enough to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, to accept religion. It was delayed, and Am Yisrael had to secondarily mediate Dvar Hashem through our experience to the Afsi Haaretz. So Yisrael's arrival represents that Goyim throughout history will affiliate themselves with the Jewish people, be affected by the Jewish people, and not just that, here's another important point, will contribute to Jewish history. So Rachav isn't really affected that much, although her grandson becomes Yirmiyah HaNavi, one of her grandchildren. But Rachav actually contributes. What does Rachav contribute to? Again, symbolically, she contributes to Yishuv Haaretz. Without Rachav, it would have been difficult to conquer Yericho. Let's just say, with other ways to conquer Yericho. But Rachav gives all the plans and all the openings and all the gives all the intel about conquering Yericho. So we're living through a very interesting period in which many Gentiles have decided to support the state of Israel. Many Gentiles who previously were hostile and violent towards the Jewish people. And a lot of people have a hard time processing that. History changes. And we're living through a Rachav switch in which people are affiliating themselves. They're not becoming Jewish. They're affiliating themselves. And unlikely associates. Let's just say we wouldn't have chosen Rachav to be the representative of the World Zionist Congress amongst the Jews. Let's choose a prostitute. It's unlikely. We wouldn't have chosen the Christians who have murdered us and shed so much Jewish bloodshed, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in unlikely ways. And Malchus Shiva probably contributes to Shlomo's monarchy. She establishes Shlomo's monarchy and sovereignty by paying homage to him and visiting even from a different part of the world, different part of civilization. So that's one role that Yisro plays. One role that Yisro plays is to receive Matan Torah, you could say that to a degree Yisro supports Matan Torah, because without Yisro, Matan Torah couldn't have occurred. Why? Because presumably without the family returning, Matan Torah can't proceed. Her return as a family, Yisro. So in some indirect way, Yisro is responsible for Matan Torah. He's not just a beneficiary, he's a founder, he's a contributor. So Gentiles will not just be drawn by Kodesh Baruch Hu's word, but will contribute to the advance of the Jewish trajectory, to the advance of Torah, in a way that will contribute to, of course, Afsi Haaretz. So that's one association in the Midrash. Another association, by way of contrast, is between Yisro and Amalek. And this association takes place at three levels. Number one, Chazal tell us that Amalek was one of those people who attended the anti-Semitism conference. There's an anti-Semitism conference in Mitzrayim that Paro convened. What to do with the Jewish people? Sounds familiar. The Jewish question. Hava nishak malo. The word hava sounds like he's talking to other people. Let's hatch a plan. It's not clear who else was there. Some versions have Eov being there. Some versions have Bilam being there. But at least according to this version in the Medrash, two of the dignitaries at this meeting were Amalek and Yisro. And they were sitting side by side. That is why they were sitting side by side in Parshas Bishalach and Yisro. Vayavu Amalek is the end of Bishalach. Vayishma Yisro is the beginning, of course, of Yisro. Where's the third time they're sitting side by side? Actually, in the Nevuah of Bilam, where Bilam curses Amalek, Rashis Goyim Amalek, Vachuiso Ade Oved. And then right afterwards, Esan Mosavacha, Vesim Basela Kinecha. He's looking at Cani, the descendants of Yisro, and he's saying, you have affiliated yourselves with the Jewish people, and therefore your foundation is rock solid. Esan Mosavacha, Vesim Basela Kinecha. So what's happening here? So there really are two things. First of all, Chazal say Yisro, unlike Amalek, performs tshuva. Amalek continues in their genocidal fashion. They couldn't get the Jews the first time in their genocidal plan with Paro. So 200 years later, they try to finish the job by attacking the Jewish people in the desert. But part of it is, so Amalek continues their genocidal plan. Yisro performs tshuva. Chazal literally call Yisro someone who performs tshuva. And that tshuva affects his people. Now, we don't need Yisro to teach us about tshuva. We have plenty of role models for tshuva in Tanakh. Why is Yisro's tshuva important? Because it's not the tshuva of an individual. It's the tshuva of an entire people, which we don't really have in Tanakh, of an entire non-Jewish people. We have that in Nineveh, of course. But in Nineveh, the tshuva is against theological crimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, moral crimes against one another. Yisro's tshuva is because he was a Jew hater. And he performed tshuva by being a Jew lover, by affiliating with the Jews and supporting the Jewish people and living next to the Jews. So this teaches us that throughout history, there could be nations that are guilty of terrible crimes against the Jewish people, and then they can perform tshuva and turn around very, very quickly in some cases and support the Jewish people. What am I referring to? Have you heard of a country named Germany? Have they been responsible recently for a lot of murder and death and genocide? Of course they have. They have been instrumental in founding the State of Israel. They're our strongest ally in Western Europe. Aside from America, they're probably our second or third strongest ally. So people have a hard time with that because 70, 80 years ago, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, murdered them. But Yisrael is a prototype. The nations can do tshuva, not just in their relationship with Hashem and how many Averos in the Nineveh. Nineveh weren't hostile to the Jewish people. This is about Yisrael, who was hostile to the Jewish people, who was part of that convention to try to murder the Jewish people, Havin Ischak Malo, and he performs tshuva. In a broader sense, this contrast with Amalek demonstrates, there are just two types of Gentiles. And there are two ways, because after the Galus and because of Chazal, they lived in a very difficult period with Gentiles, so the voice that comes out of Shas is that all Gentiles are subhuman and all Gentiles, and it's just not true. And we're living in a world in which Gentiles are civil and enlightened and part of building a better society. And not only that, but many Gentiles have affiliated. Many Gentiles have chosen the route of Yisro. So we can't, be careful, we can't dupe ourselves into an assumption that there is no evil in this world. And if we just explain ourselves and our position, and if the people were just sufficiently enlightened, then they would all turn into peace-loving, Jew-loving, God-loving. The Holocaust and the 20th century shattered that myth. The 20th century came on the heels of industrialization, of enlightenment, of science and reason. And we thought, oh, we're heading ineluctably, we're heading endlessly towards utopia, where all people will be enlightened and the prophecies will be achieved. And the 20th century reminded us of brutality, of hostility, of monstrosity, of murder, not just against the Jews. How many people did Stalin, Yimach Shemo, kill? How many millions of people were killed by their own sword, by their own leader? On the other hand, we can't take a view where all Gentiles are hostile, and that's a very bigoted view. It's also a very incorrect view. So this contrast between Amalek and Yisro, between Vayilach Bayavar Amalek Vayilachem and Yisrael Berfidim and Vayishma Yisro, is not just about someone that performs tshuva, but is establishing throughout history two different prototypes. Those who will be supportive of the Jewish people, and sometimes they'll be supportive after committing terrible crimes like the Germans, or like maybe you can even claim broader Christianity, fundamentalist Christianity today. Thank God that they're helping the Jewish people and the state of Israel. And some will continue to be sworn enemies, and we still have to maintain the concept of hate. There is no Amalek in this world, as the Rambam says, because then Cherev came and redistributed the population. So there are two mitzvahs to Amalek. One is the war to actually eliminate people and kill them. We don't really have the mitzvah anymore. But the second mitzvah is to remember Amalek. How can we find the first, second mitzvah without the first mitzvah? Because the second mitzvah is the concept of evil. Remember there's a concept of evil in this world. Don't let modern thought convince you that there is no evil. On the other hand, don't take a sweeping view that everyone is evil. And Yisro and Amalek create that balance in how we view our world. So there's a lot happening in Yisro. Yisro is joining the Jewish people. Yisro, according to one day, actually becomes a ger. Yisro is like Rachav and Shiva, but he's very different from Amalek, and he creates those two different prototypes for how we view the general population around us. Have a good day, everyone. Have a good day. Welcome back, Jacob.